Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for the baptism this morning, God. Again, Lord, I want to grow web feet. I'm in there so much, Lord. I just thank you, God. That is a result of your work on the cross being accepted here in the earthly realm. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that, Lord, and just bless her life as she continues to grow into it, Father. And bless this word as it comes forth right now, Lord. Let it leap off the page into our lives, shake us up, mold us, and then may it have a way of coming out of us to affect others. Everybody say in Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen. Now, for the last 2 weeks, I've done what ifs. And I told you before, I really didn't mean to do a series like this, but it just rolled into one. So I'm just going to roll with it today, okay? And then, of course, tomorrow or next week is Father's Day. Say amen. Amen. Now, that was the other one I failed to mention to you. This Father's Day, we're doing guns and grills, okay? So we're going to be giving away a tactical 14-inch pump shotgun that is legal. You do have to be present to win it, and you have to pass a background check, okay? Just say it. If you can't pass a background check, there ain't no sense in you winning it because you ain't going to get it. Okay, because you have to meet me at the gun store to put it in your name and register it and all that. And if it comes back, then we'll have to go with a secondary person, okay? But now you don't have to have a background check to win the Pit Boss pellet grill we're giving away too. So it's in-house. You'll be able to pick it up that day. So if you may want to drive a pickup truck. So anyway, that's what we're doing for Father's Day next week, giveaways. And then, of course, we have something for every dad that comes in the house. But the last couple of weeks, we said, what if you said yes to the things of God? How many's done some of that since that message? You've said yes, maybe a whole lot more and a little more freely with it. And then last week we said, what would it look like in your life if you began to ask God the right questions? Instead of, well, why not me and how come them? What if you ask God, can I? God, will this honor you? Will this be a great example and a testimony for everyone to see in my life that reflects the kingdom of God? Is this something you're permitting me to do, Lord? Does it bring honor and glory and reach people for the kingdom of God? What if we started asking those questions about some of our decisions, most of our decisions in life? And I think when you do that, it's going to make a process in your life, which is what we're going to talk about today. The results of asking the right questions and starting to say yes to all the things of God, if you did both of these, I believe we can put up the next note, could lead you to a point to where it says nothing. Okay. To where it says, now that I'm doing this, what can I believe God for? Come on now. Think for that for a minute. What can you believe God for? Come on now. Get real with it. Don't give me a biblical answer. Let's get real with it. Now, hopefully most of you have believed God for your salvation. Most of you believed God to follow your next steps, and you've been baptized. If you haven't, I highly encourage you to take that next step of your faith into baptism. Okay, very important. But what can you believe God for in regular life? Can you believe Him for your life? Can you believe Him for the yeses to be yes and the noes to be no? Can you believe Him to honor Him by asking Him the right questions and Him giving? If He tells you no, don't do that, would you say, yes, Lord, I won't do that? Come on. You won't compromise. What can you believe God for your marriage? Can you believe God for raising kids? Can you believe God for your career and finances? Oh, there's a biggie. By the way, if you want to know what's happening this Wednesday night, it's when you believe God, but you put your trust more in money than you do God. Ooh, everybody going, ooh, yeah. I shouldn't have announced it. Now some of y'all are going to stay at home. But here's the thing. It's hard to believe God for things when you don't have knowledge about God things. Now, I'm going to go out here on just a little bit. How many of you can believe God for words and wisdom of knowledge or word of wisdom of prophecy? Now, not too many hands shoot up because, number one, we don't know what prophecy is sometimes. We don't understand it. We don't acknowledge it. We haven't been taught what prophecy is, how to receive it, how to pray over it, how what your part is to help bring that. I believe in the prophetic. Why? It's in the Bible. That's why I believe in prophecy. Prophecy hasn't ceased. Neither has wisdom or tongues. Can you believe God for a heavenly language? Some do, some don't. Why? Because you've not been taught it. It's still for today. A lot of us has been taught it's not for today. That died with the last apostle. Sad part is you can't prove it by scriptures. Okay? I'll go into that several months from now. Can you believe God for signs, wonders, and miracles in today's times? You can if you don't believe in them. Can you believe God for all the spiritual gifts? Can you believe God for healing and deliverance? But if you don't know about healing and deliverance, it's hard for the body of Christ to believe in things when you've been taught from some denominations and some pulpits that these things are not for you today. Yeah. And that's why aren't we seeing it? Because when it boils down to it, most time we just really don't believe it. Yeah. Okay? So, which leads me to the next question. Go ahead and put that up. Do you believe? Do you believe in all of God? Do you believe in all of His Word? And then you can say yes to it, but do you believe it's for you? Do you believe you can have it now? Some people believe in all of God, and when I get to heaven, I can have all of that. Well, you can have everything Jesus died for you to have while you're here, according to Scriptures. Everybody say it's hard sometimes. Because here's the reason it's hard. We can believe God sometimes for so much of this stuff, but here's the thing. You have a part in it too. And I said this a few weeks ago, and I think I stirred some people up. And I don't mean to stir you up, but I do want to stir you up. Now, I'm not saying this is in every instance. Everybody say it's not all the time. But there can be things and places and possessions and things you want to happen in the Spirit of God in your life, and the reason you're not seeing it is the problem is you. You don't believe. You don't have nothing to back what you say up in your life. But yet you want the results of not believing things. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be in Matthew and Mark this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 29. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him. And they were crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when Jesus had come into the house, the blind men, two of them, came to him, Jesus, and Jesus said to them, now watch this, "Do you believe?" That's what he wanted to know. He didn't want to hear why they were blind. He didn't want to hear the backstory. He didn't hear all the excuses and all the pitiful stuff. "Son of David, have mercy on us. We're blind. Do you believe?" And then he didn't say anything. He said, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" See, I think sometimes our belief is just in whatever we think might work. Do you believe that Jesus is able to do what His Word says? That's a question to you right now. Amen. "Well, it depends." No, it ain't no depends on it. Either you do believe or you don't. You get into the depends area, that's your problem. That may be what's keeping you from receiving. Now, I know we don't like for nothing to be our fault. But we got to get real with this. Sometimes it can be our fault. Now watch what he says then. "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him what? Yes. Come on, can I have a hearty what they said to him? Yes. "Yes, Lord." So watch this now, back to week one of this. They said yes to God. They could have said no. They could have said maybe. They could have said, "We really want this to be true, but we got some doubt." Come on, how many of you have ever been there? Raise your hand, that way the person beside you don't feel quite as bad for believing that too. Sometimes we want to, but we've got doubts. We'll get to that in a minute. And they said yes. Said they just said yes to Jesus. That's all it took. Verse 29, then he, Jesus, touched their eyes, said, now watch this, according to your faith. According to whose faith? According to your faith, let it be done to you. In other words, what you had faith to believe in can happen to you. And when you put your faith that I am Jesus and I am the healer and I am the Son of God, then you can have what you believe for. But it's according to your faith. So the blind men had faith. They had faith. Listen to me now. They had faith in only hearing about Jesus because they couldn't see him. They couldn't see the tangible miracles, signs, wonders. All they had was rumors and people testifying about what Jesus was doing. And how more blessed are we to be able to see and hear and feel and know and have our senses about us, and we still don't believe sometimes. Now, when he said, according to your faith, let it be done to you, the word according there in the Greek means this right here, in keeping with. So in other words, Jesus is saying, I'm just going to keep with your faith. I'm keeping up with your faith. Does that make some of us go, I need to increase my faith a little? Now, do you understand something? They're not asking for a new puppy. They're not asking for a better shanty by the creek where they don't have to carry water quite as far. They're asking to receive blind eyes, make them open where they can see again. This is no minor miracle. This is what we call a major miracle. And they said yes to God, and according to their faith, keeping with their faith, God said, it's done to you. How much better would it be? Let me ask you this. Would your life be better if it went according to your faith or worse? Woo! Can I tell you, you're already living right where it's at? You're living to your faith level right now. And what I want to do today is I want you to get into more faith. Now, let's tell you something. I love faith and obedience go right hand in hand with me. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, yeah, you got to be obedient. No, I'm talking about two different spectrums of the word. Because you don't have faith until it's something you can't do. True faith is not what you can produce or what you can get. Faith is having trusting in something you don't see, you don't understand, you don't hear, but you still just believe. That's when faith, I like to spell faith, R-I-S-K. If there's no risk involved, is there really any faith there? Come on. And then obedience is the same way. Obedience, you're not obedient to your boss until your boss tells you to do something you don't want to do. Then you're going to get a test of your obedience. It's not obedience as long as what you want to do. Quiet again, and we're in the right church this morning. I need to get these youth back in here where y'all be alive. So let's think about this real quick. Look at the next note. What about when we want to believe, but we have doubt? Come on now, how many of us, come on, let's get real. Again, raise your hand where your neighbor doesn't feel quite as bad. There are things we want to believe, but we have some doubt. And that's just being real. Why do we do this? Because we live in a world where Satan is constantly trying to get us out of faith. Because Satan knows that faith produces the works and the things that God wants to happen in the earth. So if he can get us to be Christians and doubt God, that's what he wants. And that's what he gets so often. Now thinking, I've been there. Lord, I believe. And I'm going to try not to go there today. Lord, I believe, followed by but. Lord, I know your word says it, but my circumstances are different. Lord, I know your word says it. Lord, I know I want to believe it. Lord, my spirit inside me says yes and amen, but in my flesh, but. And again, I'm going to go ahead and go there. Your butt's too big. When your butt's bigger than your faith, you need to shrink your butt. Can I have a better butt? Amen. 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 So is that in the Bible when they have doubt? Yes. Absolutely. All through the Bible. But I want to key real quickly on Mark chapter 9, verse 17 through 27. Y'all ready? Then one in the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has had a mute spirit." Everybody say a mute spirit. Now watch this. "And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth." I believe in pronouncing it properly. Why would you? I've never heard of a silent G in my whole life except for this word. How would you spell Nash? N-A-S-H. No, America. G-N-T. G? I don't know. I've never understood it. Of course, I didn't do that great in English. Can't imagine that. But anyway, that's the way I've said it. He gnashes his teeth. He becomes rigid. "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Everybody say, uh-oh. 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 We've got a demon-possessed man here. He's throwing himself on the ground, getting stiff, getting rigid, and gnashes his teeth at everybody that walks by him and snaps at him. And that's pretty freaky. Come on now. I mean, the convulsing and everything, that's pretty freaky. Verse 19. "And he," Jesus, "answered him and said," oh, here we go again. "Oh, what?" Here we are, back to the faith issue. "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." In other words, he's saying, you guys ought to have this by now. And I don't even think he's so much talking to the disciples as maybe he's talking to the dad. Because the father's the head of the son. At least while he's in the house. After that, it's not the head. But at this point, this child was still under the father's care. So the father should have had enough faith to speak to that, but he didn't. But he had enough faith to get into Jesus' people. But then Jesus' people didn't get it done, so now he took him right to Jesus. So give him some credit for that. Say amen to that. Verse 20, "Then they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw Jesus, immediately," here we go again, "the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth." Imagine that, getting in the presence of Jesus and doing that. All demons do that in the presence of Jesus. Come on now. The Bible says at the mention of his name, the demons shall flee. But at this point in time, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out on mankind to have authority to do that. It was just Jesus at this time. But now watch what the demon does in front of Jesus. The demon tries to do what we call the theatrical Hollyweird stuff. This is probably, and I can't prove this because the scripture doesn't say it, but I believe it. This is probably what happened when the disciples walked up to the man to try to help heal him of a mute spirit. This thing began to pitch a fit, act up on the ground, and the disciples probably hadn't dealt with a whole lot of that, and they might have been freaked out a little bit. They knew they had belief that Jesus can do all things, but can he do it through me? Come on now. And that's not knocking the disciples. You and I would probably be in the same boat, and actually we are in the same boat, but now we've got more wisdom and knowledge than the disciples did at that time about who Jesus is and what he does, and we've got salvation through the new covenant and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we have less excuses than the disciples do. We don't like that, but it's true. So I'm sure this demon put a show on to have fear and doubt come into Jesus' people. Can I tell you today, the demon's putting on a show to bring fear and doubt still into the followers of Jesus Christ today? Amen. To take away from your faith where you will not stand no matter what you see. It doesn't matter what I hear. It doesn't matter what my eyes see. I don't care what AI produces. If it don't line up with the Word of God, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Predetermine that. Now, so they brought him there. When he saw it, did all this thing. Verse 21. So Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? Is this something that just got on him, or is this thing could be a generational curse? Because God knows how to deal with them all. Amen? And he said it has been happening to him since from a child. And often it has thrown him both into a fire and into the water to destroy him. But now watch this. Here we go. But if you can, talking to Jesus, this is a father talking to Jesus. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now you got to admit, the father has a level of faith here because he at least had faith to get him to Jesus. But man, don't use those words with God. Especially with our knowledge of who Jesus is today. Don't go up to him and say, Jesus, I believe you could do this if you can do anything, God help us. If you could, God is always able. 24/7, 365 days a year, he's always more than able to do anything according to faith. We forgot that part. Now, but you got to understand the Father's operating in some reality. These are the followers and these are the students and disciples of Jesus. And so when they came up and they couldn't do it, just by nature, the Father's probably got some doubts it's going to happen. Again, naturally so. So let's not hate on the Father too much here. Let's give him some credit. Amen. He did at least bring him, but his attitude was coming out of, again, seeing failure time and time again. How many times have you tried to believe something from God and it didn't happen? And then you probably get the but if with God. Come on, it's a natural process to a natural man. That's why we're not to act in the natural. We're supposed to overcome the natural with the supernatural of God. Amen? So Jesus says in the next verse, if you can believe. Wham! Now Jesus might have been having a little bit of attitude right here. But it's the right attitude. Everybody say it's the right attitude. It's absolutely the right attitude. Jesus is not being a smart aleck. He's being authoritative. He's bringing this guy back to what it most matters. But if you can do something and have compassion on us, if you can believe, some of the things you hope for might come to pass. Ain't what the Bible says. Jesus didn't say some things or a portion or according to your works and how good your promises you kept, I'll give you a percentage based on that. No, he didn't say that. He says, if you can believe, say it with me, all things are possible to him who what?
Believes.
Believes. Believes, another word for faith. To those who have faith, all things are possible to those that got faith. Faith in him. Not faith in a system. Oh, come on now. Now, let me remind you of a prophetic word God gave me probably 15 years ago. Some of you were here back then. I want to reiterate that prophetic word because it keeps coming to pass more and more. There will be a time on planet Earth, if you live long enough, that you will have to put your belief and your faith and your trust in one of two places. And you will have the choice to do this. You will either put your belief, trust, and faith in God, or you will put your belief, trust, and faith in the government. Amen. Make sure you choose God. Amen. Will it cost you something? It could. And it probably will. But you're choosing everlasting life. Always trust God over government. Faith in God, not faith in government. Can I? Whew, that felt good saying it. If you can believe. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is making him a part of the miracle. Do you know when you need a miracle from God, he wants you to be a part of it? He don't want you to sit back and just wait on him. Which is what most of us do. Every single miracle always took the active part of the people that were going to be involved in it. Number one, you got to believe it. Number two, you got to receive it. Number three, when you receive it, you have to maintain it. You have to maintain it. I have seen people get miraculously healed, go out and do the same thing that got them in the shape for their healing again and didn't learn. Come on. If you get delivered from alcoholism and then you go straight to the bars and begin to drink because Jesus has delivered you, you stupid. That's just a level of stupid that you have just attained. If he delivers you from alcohol, you know what you don't do? You don't go back to the bar. Or anything like that. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. So, look at your neighbor and say, he's going to make you part of your miracle. So now watch what the Father's response was in verse 24. And we're going to break 24 down. We're going to spend a few minutes and then we'll be going. Verse 24. Immediately. Everybody say immediately. the father of the child cried out and said this, Lord, I believe, and help my unbelief. What's he saying there? Lord, I do believe, but I have doubts. Because I'm looking at past circumstances, I'm looking at what your disciples were not able to do, and I'm here, and I love the fact that the fathers ain't trying to fake some kind of faith here. I believe God, but I've got some doubts. I'm going to be honest with you. But God says you just need a grain of faith as a mustard seed. Just a mustard seed size faith. Now, I believe, and Lord help my unbelief. This is a concept that most Christians can no longer grasp. We're always taught, either you're a believer or you're not. And there's some truth in that to a measure. But it's like we've discovered in ourselves, God already knows it about us, and God knew the situation here. You can believe and have doubts. It doesn't make you a terrible person. It just makes you a person, you've got a crossroads, you've got to make up your mind. Do I want to walk with the world's fear and doubt and unbelief and what I see in my circumstances of what I know? Or do I want to stay in the unknown supernatural realm of God and keep calling on God? Come on now, that's tough to do sometimes. Because the natural surrounding is showing you it ain't happening, honey. The money ain't there, the bills are due. The doctor's report not only said it was there, but it's getting worse. And we're crying out to God. And it's okay to say, God, I believe, and help my unbelief. I believe that is a proper biblical prayer to pray at times. Go ahead and put the next note up. I want to make sure you understand. Well, I don't know if that's supposed to be the prayer. The father said he believed and had doubts at the same time. Jesus did not rebuke him for this. Jesus didn't look at him and say, oh, ye of little faith. Jesus didn't rebuke him and said, well, when your belief comes up, come back and see me. Come on now. He could have said that. He didn't. Make sure you understand that. And while we're on this subject, go ahead and put the next note up. There are three courses and categories of unbelief. There's unbelief from ignorance, meaning you just don't know. And if you don't know, you need to find out. Ignorance is not an excuse, but we try to use it. Ignorance is where the big butt comes in. Ignorance rests on the hiney of a big butt. Unbelief from wrong doctrine. Well, I don't believe I believe God can heal, but it's not for today, so I don't really expect to get it. Because many people have been taught that healings and signs and wonders and miracles all died when the last apostle died. Well, don't wake me up from my dream and my visions, because I've seen people healed. Amen. Seen people delivered and set free. I've seen these things. Okay? And then the third one is unbelief from wrong doctrine, and then natural unbelief. When you look at your circumstances and it's hard to believe God. And that's what this guy's in. Now, unbelief from ignorance and wrong doctrine can be solved by getting into the Word of God and knowing and understanding the Word of God. Natural unbelief is when you know the Word of God and you got to stand in faith on it, regardless of what you see. Regardless of what you hear, regardless of how precious your feelings are hurt or destroyed or whatever. Can I have a better amen on that one? Amen. Now, again, revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ through scriptures can take care of the first two. What takes care of the last one? A lot of times, if you look at Jesus, he'll say, pray and fast. I believe how we get out of just natural doubt and fear is to get closer to Jesus. Pray more. If you're not getting results of just regular praying, pray and fast. When's the last time you fasted? Anything. That's why we start off the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. Why? Because we want to start getting closer to God every year. And listen, don't wait for me to set up here and call you to a fast. I fast several times throughout the year, different times when I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit. And I fast more than anybody because I literally fast between every meal I eat. I eat and then I fast till I get hungry and I eat again. I'm gonna just chalk it up, okay? But anyway, no, I'm not that spiritual. But there are times when I just feel God tell me to fast. And I don't have any particular goosebump or area about it, but if he says it, I'm going to do it. Amen. And I don't share it because it's nothing to brag about. Can I have a better amen there? But there are times how I think he wants us in a corporate fast, and I know usually it's at the first of every year. Now, verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, say it to him. Now watch this. Deaf and dumb spirit? Now he would be so ostracized because he called it deaf and dumb spirit today. Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Now, I want to stop there and point something out to you. Notice what Jesus has done here. He's asking the man, does he believe? And the man says, I believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus says, you can believe, all things are possible, right? Okay? And if you look at the first part of this, Jesus saw people come running together. I think Jesus really probably wanted a little more time to minister to this father, but he started seeing people come. Now, what's wrong with seeing people gather up to see this? Because spectators don't come in faith. They come to either maybe get some faith or get some ridicule to it. And so sometimes you need to go ahead and get what needs to be done before all the onlookers want to come. Come on now. Sometimes when we have some altar time here and there, somebody catch a little bit of carpet time, fall out in the spirit. Y'all know the old turkey peeking over the log, the rubbernecks go to rubbernecking. Did you say that? What was that? Why'd they foul out for? Listen, if you ain't got faith to say glory, hallelujah, just shut your mouth. Amen. Just say, Lord, even if I don't understand it, Lord, touch them. Yeah. Have you ever thought about that versus trying to criticize what God's trying to do? Amen. Just because you don't understand it don't mean it ain't God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Deaf and dumb spirit, come out. Then the spirit cried out, now watch this, convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So many said, he dead. He's dead. Jesus done killed that boy. Listen to me real closely. Sometimes when you're asking God to do something, and you're begging for that miracle, and you're really needing that breakthrough and that miracle, that deliverance, that healing, that whatever it is, sometimes it will look worse before it comes through. Amen. Sometimes it'll look like your dream's dead, your healing's dead, your finances are going to die, and you're going to die with them. Yes, it feels like that. You're crying out to Jesus, and it looks like Jesus has made things worse. Come on. I mean, this looks like Jesus done killed this boy. I thought I killed a woman years ago in service. I'm for real. I'm going to take you just a few minutes to tell you the story. We're at my first church. A man that ended up dying of cancer was praying for healing for him. He had throat cancer. And as I went to pray for him, the Spirit of the Lord told me to say, have John Mark, which was running sound, have John Mark lead this prayer. It's not for you to lead. It's for him to lead. So I called John Mark, and John Mark's a very great man of God. Of course, he's obedient. He come down, and he was kind of halfway. He went all the way into the altar. He's kind of two or three pews. We had pews, and they were right there gathered up in the middle, and people just began to surround him and pray over him. And at my church, we had a concrete slab floor with real thin carpet with no padding. And I couldn't get to Arthur because of the crowd around him to lay hands on him myself, so I just started kind of touching people as I went around them and coming in agreement with their faith and stuff. And there was a lady named Ty, and I couldn't get to her, and she was kind of right up against him toward praying over his shoulder right here toward his throat. And I'm like, I just barely touched her. When I touched her, she went, woo, and just went straight back. Nobody, no catcher, no nothing. Got like a 2x4 and went down, and the band's playing, and pop! It popped over the PA, and I thought, oh, my God, her head hit first. The back of that head popped that concrete slab. I couldn't get to it. I had to run around the pews. And I'm like, oh, this ain't good. She dead. She just laying there. She wasn't chandelier or prophesying. She just looked like she was dead. So I go, and I'm kind of in a slight trot, and I hit my knees and slide up to her, and I scoop her up, and I'm feeling for blood and knots on the back of her head, and her sister-in-law comes out about that time. We meet there, and we kind of look at each other going, And I'm like, I'm about to raise her from the dead. Lord, give me the faith to raise this woman from the dead in Jesus' name. I'm about to bust loose in tongues and stuff, and I feel her move. And I'm like, you know, don't move too much. You've either got a concussion or you've broke your neck. I don't know. You may be, I don't know. Now, I'm trying to be a man of faith here. Come on. But I'm basing off of what I heard and saw. And I'm still trying to feel the warmth of blood running down my head and where her head's busted open. And she just kind of sits there a minute. She goes, and she begins to smile. And goes, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And a few minutes later, by this time, I've kind of handed her to her sister-in-law, and she kind of comes to, and I said, look at me. Are you okay? And she says, why wouldn't I be? I've been with Jesus. And I'm reaching up, and I'm rubbing the back of her head. She said, what are you doing? I wasn't going to try to pull no, you know, I'm just laying hands on you, woman of God, from faith. I said, be honest with you, I'm feeling to see if your head's cracked open. She said, why would you do that? I said, because you hit head first on this concrete and popped plumb over our sound system. And she was fine, didn't even have a bump. And I'm sure people watching on going, yeah, he killed her. And the rumor would have been, he's one of those that walks up and hits you and shoves you down to the ground, he killed her. But no, it didn't kill her. Thank you, God. So there are times, no matter what you see or where you're at, it can look like things of God is not going to work. Or it's getting worse, not better. But stay in your faith. This boy went as dead. And notice the spirit tried to convulse him again to try to show out one last time before he had to leave. Know that about demonic spirits and the spirit of Leviathan. That tail will always try to whip when it's going out the door. You don't know about that? Look it up. Verse 27. But Jesus took hold of him, talking about that boy, by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. What looked dead in the presence of Jesus is always going to come alive. Can I have a better amen? That's our God, amen? But notice it all revolved around faith and faith increasing, not decreasing. So wherever you're at in your faith walk with God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Don't ever say, I believe, but I doubt. At least follow this wise father's words. I believe, God, and I know there's doubt, but I want you to help my doubt and my unbelief right now, God. Because I know your word. I know your presence. I know you're here. I know what you do. And I'm believing you're going to take care of this. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Again, things look worse before they get better sometimes with God. So can you believe God this morning if you've got something in your past that he really can forgive you for it? Can you believe that? Got one yes. Got two yes. Can you believe God to cover your past mistakes? Because let me tell you something. When you do, you know what happens? You don't keep talking about them.
That's right.
Woo! Amen. Let me give you the number one way you can tell if someone is forgiven and over their past and it's under the blood. Their mouth don't go there with it. But you take somebody that's constantly talking about their failure and their mistake and their failure. Let me tell you what I'm over. I'm over everything I did in the past, and here it is. And they go tell me what everything they did. They're not over it. They're not over it. It's still their identity. When the sun sets you free indeed is what my Bible says. And you don't use your mouth to talk about that. You use your mouth to talk about where God's taking you. So can you believe him for your past? Can you believe God for your future that it's blessed and highly favored? Can you believe God for your marriage? And if you can't, I don't know what you're going to end up in. Can you believe God that God, no matter if you've got a prodigal son or daughter, God's going to bring them back? You better believe for that. Can you believe that God has a career and his finances is out there, but you got to work? Amen. Can you believe God for the callings that he's got on your life? Now notice it slacked off there. Let me just tell you this. Listen, everybody, look at me right here. Focus in. You cannot be saved and not be called to do something for God. It is impossible. He's never saved anybody. He said, you're special. I just want you to sit down and enjoy it. Just sit down and enjoy it. You ain't got to do nothing for anybody else. We're making this all about you. You're just that special. You're special, but you've got callings and giftings in your life. And what that looks like, it can look like 1,000 different things. Does it have to be all in church? No, it prefers to be in church, but the rest of the week you're not in church, so you need your gifting working outside this church, no matter what it is. It's needed more out in the world to bring it into here. Amen? So can you believe God that you've got callings on your life and gifts that He has given you? Amen? Now, let me ask you these last two. Can you believe God for your health? Can you believe God for your healing?
Yes.
How much of it?
All.
Easy. Some of you got some things wrong. You've had it for years. You go to believing for it to be gone permanently, it might just happen.
Amen.
You're going to be careful and get healed. Then what you going to do? What you going to have to talk about? What you going to have to complain about? Oh, some people don't get healed because they don't want healed. It is their identity. It gets them pity. It gets them something to constantly complain on God about and think they got a right to back talk to God. But for those who believe, you just might end up getting healed. Let me just say in the words of Jesus what He said to everybody else. As your faith is, so shall you be. As your faith is, so shall you be. So start believing God for some bigger things. Another word the Lord gave me probably 10, 15 years ago was, His church is not asking for big enough things. He said that. I'm like, do what? He said, my church don't ask me for near big enough things. And that's why they're not seeing the big things. Well, alrighty then. I'll deliver that message. And it went over back then about like it did just now. People didn't want to hear that either, but it's okay. I'm going to tell what God tells me. So whatever it is you can believe God for, expect to receive it the way God brings it and in the timing God brings it in. Don't try to microwave Jesus. You hear what I said? Don't try to microwave Jesus. And don't try to time down to your way or the highway. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. But we've got to walk by faith, not by sight. And we certainly can't afford to walk by feelings. So just bow your heads real quickly. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the first faith I want you to walk into is you got to have faith that, number one, Jesus was and is the Son of God. That Jesus came to earth and He died in your place to pay for your sins, because you cannot pay for your own sins. And then you got to believe that on the third day, Jesus Christ rose from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, where you could put your faith and trust in Him, get your sins cleansed by Him, and by faith in Him alone, you would walk as a child of God, knowing that when you die now, you're going to heaven. If you've never done that process this morning, that's the first faith you'll ever need in your life. And it's the gateway to the rest of the faith of your life, to believe God for the things that you walk in on earth now. But you got to start by being born again. You don't join church today. You don't become religion today. You become a son and daughter of the one and only God there is in Jesus Christ. So if that's you today, without any strings attached, if you want to get saved, what we call being born again, saved, giving your life to Christ today, just lift your hand and say, today's my day. Anybody in this house today? Anyone? Well, all right. Maybe online. If you're online, let us know. Send us an email. We've got a gift we want to get in the mail for you. How many would today say, I want to start saying yes to God? I want to start asking Him if I can, and does this glorify Him? And I want to believe God for more than I'm currently believing for. I don't want to compromise my life. I want to stand in faith, not feelings. If that's you today, lift your hands. And I've got mine up first. Because everybody say, man, where do you get most of your messages from? I say, I just get in the mirror. All I got to do is get in the mirror, and I got plenty to preach again. So, Father, right now, with the hands lifted up. The Bible says the hand is the evening sacrifice. I wish men everywhere would lift up holy hands. So, Father, we come and we lift up these holy hands to You today and say, Lord, we believe. And anywhere we have doubt and fear and uncertainties and circumstances, help our unbelief, God. We're never going to say, I believe, but I don't really trust. Lord, we trust you in the hard times. Help our trust. Help our faith level go up. We believe you, God. We believe in you. Help our unbelief. Come on, say that with me. Say, Father, I believe. And help my unbelief in any area of my life. My life, marriage, family, kids, finances, gifts, callings in my life, every area of my life. Let it rise in Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, come on.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.